All right, welcome to our Class 3 Bible Institute of Texas, but now Gillette Bible Institute, and this is Intro to Greek, and already one of our students has a question. Yes, Carol. Okay, I teach it as the German U. So the word, this word right here, lambda, upsilon, omega, is luo. It wouldn't be lao, it would be the German U for luo. Yeah, an uber sound from the German. So yeah. Yeah. And tonight we're going to make the transition and we're going to start pronouncing Greek words. In fact, that's going to be part of our exercise tonight. We're going to let you pronounce John chapter 1. So we'll get into that. But before we do that, I did want to point out something here. I had it up on the screen just a moment ago. Here is the Codex Sinaiticus or Sinaiticus. And it was found, it's a manuscript that was found at Mount Sinai. I believe it dates back to the 4th century. And it's the oldest Greek manuscript that's complete. Now, we have older manuscripts, but parts of them. But this is the oldest one that's complete. And they made it digitally available. As we said, if you'll notice, they have it in all capitals. Those are called uncials. So if you hear the term uncial manuscripts or majuscules, okay? Not minuscules, but majuscules, that means capitals. Also, do you notice anything else about that? There's no spaces in between the words. So, yeah, a little bit difficult. So I'm thankful that now our Greek New Testaments are minuscules, you know, are able to see the smaller letters and the punctuations there. But what's cool about this, if you look to the left here, and this is on the internet, it has the minuscules right there. So, and it has it just the way we would read it. And then right down here, it has the translation. So it's really cool, and you would be able to, you know, take advantage of this. And then often it'll have notes. They'll have certain notes about things. Let's see, what do they say here? You know, nothing that really rings a bell with me. It says it's the Eusebian canon number. Okay? All right, so that'll be on the quiz next week. Whatever that means, the Eusebian canon number. Well, from Eusebius and I guess his form of Greek, showing my ignorance here. But anyway, I mentioned that the other day and I did want to put that up here so you would see it. And it's really cool to look at. I mean, you're looking at it, an actual Greek manuscript, not the original, but one of the oldest that's for the entire New Testament. All right, let me move on then. Okay, what we want to do then is we want to do a little bit of review from last week, and then we want to get into some new stuff. Well, not really new stuff. Actually, we're going to work with one of the tools tonight with the interlinear. Okay. All right, you remember last week then we did the pronunciation of the diphthongs, okay? You remember those? I have the notes up here and I also have them in your notes. So you remember the alpha iota is what sound? We'll start in the front, work our way back. The alpha iota diphthong, Deb, is what?
I,
okay? Then the epsilon iota is what sound, Daryl?
A.
And then Peggy, the alpha upsilon is, it would be this one right here. the Alpha Upsilon is pronounced Al. Al. Okay. And then, let's see, Chrissa, the Omicron Upsilon is pronounced U. Okay. And then here's an easy one, Carol. The Omicron Iota is pronounced Oi. Okay. And you can have oil, foil, boil. All right, Nicole, one of the more difficult ones is the Upsilon Iota, and it's pronounced We. Okay. And then, Randy, the Epsilon Upsilon is pronounced Ooh. That's right. And we get a lot of words with ooh in, like to please God, or our word eulogy comes from the two Greek words, and you means good. Okay, so we're going to be putting those into practice today. We're going to be reading from the New Testament and pronunciation. And again, we're taking our good old time. This is just an intro to Greek. I'm going to wine you and dine you in this class so that you take my next one, okay? We're going to have so much fun in this class, you say, it can't be that hard. And it's not. It really isn't. All right, we talked about rough and smooth breathing. A vowel or a diphthong, and that's two vowels together, at the beginning of a word, not in the middle and not at the end, they always have a breathing. It's either rough or smooth. So in the beginning of the word, you're going to see a sign. This one here, the sign here that's... A left single quotation mark, okay, or an apostrophe that goes towards the word, it is pronounced with an H sound. And here's two words, hopefully you can see them. This is not weos, but huios, okay? And also henna. And by the way, I did do some research on my homework, and I found out some information about that. It'd be better to be a swine instead of a son. And actually, the Greek word is hous for a swine and huios for a son. And it was, in fact, Caesar Augustus who said it. And he said it about Herod because Herod had killed members of his own family, I believe even his son. And Caesar Augustus said it'd be better to be a hous than a huios. And then later on, as we think of Herod's character when he killed all of the children, all of the infant boys up to 2 years old, the saying seemed to go along and apply with it again. All right, the smooth breathing is that apostrophe that goes away from the word, not through the word, but to the left. And it has no H sound, and it's pronounced normally. All right, and then for the accents. Again, don't let these give you a hard time. There's three different accents. You don't need to know the names in this class. All you need to know is that it's an accent and that you accentuate that syllable when you come to it. You have this one that is looks like an apostrophe again and points towards the word. You have this one over here that point is at the end of the word. And then you have one that is round, is called a circumflex. But again, you don't need to know that. All you need to know is when you see that on a word, just know that it's the accent. And it's different from the rough breathing because the rough breathing or smooth breathing is going to be in the beginning of the word. Okay? All right. Okay. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through John chapter 1. And we'll each take a line at a time, and we'll go slow. I gave you an interlinear, a copy of a page, so you're welcome to read it off of there, or I have it up on the screen. So we're going to go through this. One thing I would ask, if you would mind, is let me make any corrections. Okay, don't correct someone else. In fact, when it's that person's turn, just let them say it or not say it, because that's part of the learning process. You know, the butterfly coming out of the cocoon. if the butterfly doesn't struggle coming out of the cocoon, it won't bring the blood to its wings. So I'm going to let you struggle on some of these. Well, I'm going to help you here, but watch how fast you will catch on. All right. Let's see. Who did we finish with over here? Did we finish with Nicole? Oh, Randy. Okay. All right. Nothing to it. This first line here, give it a stab. You know, we're all going to make mistakes here. Tell you what, at this point, let's not even worry about the accent. Let's just worry about the best pronunciation and the smooth and rough breathing. So, Matt, why don't you start us off? Very good. The only thing I would say is this one here is N rather than the ain. Okay, this, you pronounced this one correctly. This one is ain because it begins with an eta. This one begins with an epsilon and it is a short e. But excellent, excellent job. And you even pronounced the rough breathing correctly on this article, ha. It's the, since it's an article. And we're going to see that article throughout here. So everybody should have that down. Okay. All right. Let's see. Deb Selby, would you like to go next? Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. If you look up here, I did try to shorten them. So, you know, I did try to shorten them, although yours is rather long. All right. Yeah, I know it. I know it. So, give it a stab. Excellent. That's right. Okay. And you can, this is, you can have your cheat sheets with you. Don't. Oh, absolutely. This is not a test. And this is, and now what we want to do is pay attention because many of these words are in everybody's line. Exactly. Aim. That's an eta with a new. And you know what? Maybe this will help you because remember we said these are probably two of the most difficult letters because this one here looks like an N, but it isn't. This one is a V and it's pronounced N, but it's a... Yeah. It's a very popular verb. Let's not do that. Let's not confuse us. This is how you would pronounce that. Ain. Or any other way you can say ain. It's a to-be verb. Okay? A to-be verb. All right. So it means was. It's was in the imperfect tense. And in just a few weeks, we're going to start, actually next week, we're going to start talking about the tenses. So it means was, but it means was in the past continuously. So continuously in the past. So Jesus was continually with God in the past. Okay, pros. Ton. Okay, Theon, which is God, and yeah. Now, taking a look at that word again, the epsilon is a short e, like pet. Okay, so it's Theon, kind of hard to say, And then the other one that I want to just point out to all of us, and we all seem to do it, this is not logos, this is logos. The O is a short O in the word pot, or whatever other word we have there. So it's ah. And I know that I hear it all the time, and I hear... I could name a few major ministers that say it that way. No problem. Everybody does it. So that would be logos. Okay. So very good, Deb. Very good. All right. Let's go with Daryl. Now, Daryl, some of these words have already been said, so you're good to go. Okay. Theos. Mm-hmm.
And
Ain. Ain, remember that's the Ada, Nu. And you know what? You're all doing very well. I mean, this is just an intro to Greek, and already you're reading Greek pronunciation. So very good.
Is it ah?
That is ah, with the rough breathing.
And,
so that would be a ha. Aha with an H.
Yeah,
keep writing Greek. Logos. That would be logos, which is the word. Very good, Daryl. Excellent. Very good. All right. Let's go with Peggy. and again, you know what? This is just, right now, this is just a learning exercise that we're learning it together. Mm-hmm. Ton. Good. Theon. Theon. Very good. Well, that's good. This is Peggy's first class. Outstanding. Yeah. By the way, everybody, this is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Is it Creason?
Creason.
Okay. Let me just. All right. Let me make a couple of points here. The first word is actually houtos. Notice the rough breathing, the apostrophe that goes towards the word. So a who. So there's that H sound. No problem. And then anytime there's an omicron, it's short. So an omicron is like the short O in pot. Don't say a long O, because that's reserved for the omega. And that's so logos is the short O. So just again, good reminders to us all, but very good. What's that? There was, it's pros. It would not be pros, it would be pros. But very, very good. Very, very good. Okay, now let's see. We go to Carol. Okay, ooh, Carol, you've got some good ones there. Ponta, very good. It is D. And go ahead. Out two. Very good, though. Okay, very good. It's agenita. Now, agenita. Now, let me help you all with pronunciations of those big ones. Okay, let's just write that one down. What I found is if you make the sound of with the vowel and you stop at the consonant. So here you have a consonant and a vowel. You keep going till you hit another consonant. Okay? So here a consonant and a vowel. You keep going till you hit another consonant. So then it becomes e, ge, ne, ta. With the accent there, agenita. Mm-hmm. So and that was confusing for me in the very beginning. How do I break up the syllables? Well, you break up the syllable between the vowel and the consonant. Okay? So if you went egg, en, et, ah, it just wouldn't sound right. So it's, you go from your vowel to your consonant, e, ge, ne, ta. So you start out your syllable with your consonant. Now, again, you're probably not going to be reading the Greek in your Sunday school class, but you may say a word from time to time. And you know what? Praise the Lord, these Greek tools, they usually have pronunciations. What will happen is you'll see the pronunciation. You go, I remember that. That's right. Remember that omicron? That's a short one. That's not a long O as in omega. So very good, Carol. Okay. Krissa, this is probably the hardest one. All right, so it's there, and it's actually two lines.
Okay, do I pronounce the iota as an E or an I?
Most of the time, an I, unless it's with the diphthong. Oh, and you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay, let me go back to this one here. You did this very good, Carol. You pronounced this word with an E. And you're right. Do you see that? It's delta, iota, and then an apostrophe. Okay, that is shortened for the preposition dia. And with dia, as I was reading in one of my books today, it says sometimes the I can be long and sometimes the I can be short. It says, listen to your teacher to know the difference. Which means that there may not be a rule. And again, this is a dead language and we're not exactly sure how it exactly sounded. It probably sounded similar to modern Greek, but we're not sure. But anyway, this one is pronounced dia. So this is the long E sound with this one. Okay. And that apostrophe there is to show you that the Alpha is missing. And the reason it's missing is because notice the next Alpha, that's right. Otherwise, you would be saying Panta Diaotu. You know, so it's Diaotu. There was some evolution going on in that language. Okay, so Chris, yeah, most of the time, and all the ones in this one, the iota is short, except for the first one with the diphthong. Excellent. Out. Okay, and that would be out two with the diphthong of the omicron upsilon. Okay. Right, yes. Either way. Agenita. What's that? Agenita. Yeah, it's this one down here. And again, the vowel goes to the consonant. So it's e rather than egg. E, then it's ge, then it's ne, and then it's ta. So agenita. Okay. You know what? You're exactly right, but for some reason they call that ude. But you're exactly right, but it's, I've always heard it ude. Yes. Yep. Geganen, or with the accent, geganen. But very good. Excellent. That was the hardest one. Okay, Josh. Oh my, this is too easy. Okay, all right, Josh. Go ahead and do that one. Okay. Good, very good. A couple of comments. This one here is actually Zoe. It's not a diphthong, but you see the omega, so it's Zo. And then the eta, Zoe. And then it has the accent, so Zoe. It means life. We get our English word zoo from it. Zoology, zoo, you go to see live things. Zoe means life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the Zoe. I am the life. Okay, and then this one here is pronounced ain. It has that eta. And eta ate your lunch. Eta will eat your lunch, okay? Because I've always had a hard time with that. So eta ate your lunch. That's a hard letter. So that would be Ain. Okay, Tyrell. Or yeah, Kai. Kai. Excellent. You got the rough breathing and the Ada. Zoe, very good. You were listening. Ain, good. Or a short O sound like pot. Omicron, ah, ta. Very good. Yes, fos. Very good, very good. Just a couple of things I want to point out. Notice the omega there. So now that's where you pronounce the os, okay? With that omega. By the way, what would you suspect that phos might mean? Light. We get our English words photo, photography. Jesus is the light. Very good. Oh, I guess, Tyrell, we missed a word there. Sorry. Okay. Okay, very close. Anthropone. And remind you of anything?
Anthropology.
Anthropology, which is the study of man. So anthropos is man. So this big word, anthropology, it's like one of the first words you learn as a Greek child. Everybody knows what a man is. So next time you see an anthropologist, walk right up to him and say, "You're not so big." Okay. Moving to Nicole. All right, Nicole. Ooh, couple of new words in there. No helps from Randy. Good. Or ta. Or ta. Okay. Okay. All right. If you sing it, it'll be right. So just sing it. That one would be, if we break it up, ska, and we stop there at the consonant, so it's ska, and then tia. Skatia means darkness. And then the last word? Okay, and that is a phi. That's a phi. No problem. Yeah, these are the tough letters. Okay. Or phi. Nay, fine. So it would be chi, ta, phos, en, te, skatia, fine. Okay. Very good. All right. And Randy, I think you have a pretty easy one here, Randy. Good. Or that's good. Or just okay, very good. It's katelaben. Kat e la ben. Or kate la ben. Very good. Very good. So you might want to just kind of practice that a little bit. Let's stop there and move to a couple of things here. And we can kind of hold off on this, but I did give you the interlinear page. And so we read through the first five verses. It'd be good to just read over that again. It'd be good to go back then and look at the literal translation. All right. This isn't something that's necessarily homework. It's just if you get chance. And then what I thought would be interesting is to take a look at the NASB and see how they translate it, and which is on your left. And then look at the NIV, which is on your right. So we're not going to really have time to do that tonight, but that's okay. I'm actually stepping the process here by showing us the interlinear, but some of you are already grasping that. Yes. Right. Okay.
But why is one
theos?
Is that like an object of a verb or
Yes, it is something. It's something like that. Okay. It's a declension. We'll just go through it. You won't have to know it, but okay. Basically, what we would have is the root the. And the ending would be os, u, o, on. Os, u, o, on. Okay, and this would mean, let me see how to say that, just God, okay? This would mean of God. So if you want to say of God in Greek, you put the u on it, it's the genitive. This is the dative. This is to or for God, okay, which is the dative, and then the accusative, which is the direct object, is God again, but it would be the one who saved me was God, okay, or, so when you see theon, it's usually at the end of the word, but we're not going to learn that in this class. But that's what that is. So as you recognize these words, they may change in the endings, but it's going to be the same one. Everyone knows now that theos or thea or theu or theo is God. So, good question. Anybody jotting that down as a note? If you are, this would be the nominative, which is where you get your subject. This is the genitive, where you get your possession. This is the dative, which is where you get your indirect objects. And then this is the accusative, which gives you direct object. Okay, that's probably, just for fun. Okay, so moving on then. What else was I going to do in your notes? The comparison. Okay, so that's something we can do a little later. But you are at that level now where you can pronounce the words. you can pronounce them. If you can. It's all Greek to me. that's right. All right. Well, how about if we add some vocabulary to your repertoire? Now, I'm not going to ask you. I don't think we're going to do much vocabulary in this class, but I thought I would give you some. It will be a good intro into the tenses. These are all verbs, and these are very simple verbs. And I'll even try to whet your appetite for our Greek class because I have some funny cartoons to help you study these. In fact, let's just go to the cartoons. So here's our vocabulary. Okay, the first one is blepo, and it means I see. And down here, this lady says, I see blips. Okay, so basically, what they try to do with the cartoon is they try to put the definition with the word. Now you can say, I don't really get it. Well, if you... Right. But blips is not the same as blepo, but it's close. Now there are some better ones. The best one is this, which is not in your vocabulary, naturally. And by the way, I left the Greek students, if you can come up with a better cartoon, you'll get extra points for that. You know, I even had a student write, draw one up and copy it and then email me, and I added it to our vocabulary. It was actually very good. Okay, the my favorite one is Randy. What is that? Yep.
A gayro.
And it means I raise up. It's the word for resurrection. And so there's this picture of this guy, and he has an arrow in his hand and an egg on the top of the arrow, and he says, I raise egg arrow. Okay, so a garro reminds you of a gayro, and it means I raise. So that's the... Now, some people get this. Some people don't get this. Some people say, just let me go back to the words and the definitions. Fine. Really. And whatever it takes to learn another language, that's the secret. So anyway, blepo means I see bad. By the way, there is a fish called an anablep. Ana means up, blep means see. It has an eye on one side, and it's on its side, an anablep. Yeah, it is weird. But now you know why they named it that way, because they use these technical, deep Greek words. Okay, here we go. Ginosko. Ginosko. I know. Ginosko. Gino what? You're a Gnostic. Okay, and by the way, that's where we get our word Gnostic from. It's from Ginosko, which means I know. There's numerous words for I know in the Greek. But this one is a simple one, but it is many times an experiential knowledge. Not necessarily a perceiving knowledge, but an experiential knowledge. It's actually the one where when God said to Jeremiah, I knew you, you know, before you were in your mother's womb. Not just I knew about you, but there was a relationship. There was I chose you and I knew you. Okay. All right. The next one is didasco. Okay. Very popular word. Means I teach. I missed one. Oh, grapho. Okay. Okay, I guess I did miss that one. But you know that makes sense, right? Graph, or you know, like a photograph or a mimeograph, writing, grapho. Grapho marks. You know, when you write, you make marks. Grapho marks. Okay. Didasco means I teach. Means really I teach. Did Oscar ever? Oscar is the parrot. Oscar. Okay. What do you think? Is this too much here? Is this not? Okay. Anyway, we'll have fun with it. Okay. Lambano means I receive. And he says, I receive a lambasting. And what he's holding in his hand is a bottle of medicine that says works wonders. So lambano is received. By the way, it's a very, very good word. It when it talks about but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It's a very popular word, lambano. If nothing else, as you memorize these this week, it'll help you with your pronunciation. Yes, Carol. Okay. It can be yes, and thank you for bringing that up. It can quite often have a different nuance. Okay, the question is, well, when do I use take and when do I use receive? Well, the answer is the context. The context will help you with those. Okay. Lego means I speak or say. I speak Lego. Okay. This guy's got a hold of a leg. I speak Lego. Tyrell likes them. He thinks they're funny. You know, if you come up with a better one, bring it into class for a bonus. Luo. Okay, here's one of those. It means I loose or destroy. It can mean both. And it says, I'm Lou and I loose and destroy. And he's got some dynamite. Now, what's important about this word is you may hear about something in Greek called the Luo chart. Okay. And the Luo chart gives you all of the endings for the verbs because it's one of the smallest words. So, Luo, so it would be O, Ace, A, I'm sorry, there's only three. well, there's six, okay. They go over here. This is the singular, and I know I'm giving way too much. And this is the plural. Amen. Etta. Usi. Okay, anyway.
Usi?
Yeah. Lu-usi. Lu-usi. All right, so, okay, here is, we'll be talking about this. This is the present tense endings here. Okay, you won't be required to learn them, but the Luo chart is used because it's the smallest word and you can add these endings. And then when we go to the aorist tense, we'll just use the same one, sa, san, sen. Oops, I'm making that letter wrong. Anyway, okay. Sa, sa, sen. But anyway, that's one of the importances of Luo. And you will see that in the New Testament, I loose or I destroy. Okay, the next one is echo. And it means I have. I have an echo. So that's probably one of the better cartoons. Very simple word, I have, but it's one that's when it says, he who believes on him who sent me has everlasting life. That's the word, echo. Okay, so echo means I have. All right, and I think that's it for the vocabulary. Okay, so is that going to be too much to learn that for next week? No? Okay. All right, so go through these. The vocabulary. So we'll have a little vocabulary quiz. All right, so let's say these words together. We'll go from top to bottom, starting with the left. Blepo, ginosko, grafo, didasko, lambano, lego, luo, and echo. And by the way, the reason why all of those end with the omega is it because it's the first person, okay? So it means I see, all right? What it means I see. Now, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time, you know, messing with some of this, but anyway, this will give you just an idea of just some vocabulary. You're already learning vocabulary. You know what theos is. You know what logos is. So you're actually doing very well, and you're getting a lot under your belt. Now, just let me close, if you would.
You want us to know what the words are and what they mean.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll give you the Greek word, you give me the definition. All right, hang on a second here and pull this up.
Randy has to sing next week. I won't be here. Ty has to sing next week.
Okay, thanks, Ty.
Okay. All right, hang on one second. See if I can just close us with a little application from the scripture here. Okay. All right, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, verse 8.
John chapter 28.
Yeah. And we might even go back. Okay, let's see. Hold on. All right, this is the morning of the resurrection. Let's go back to verse 1 just to get the context, okay? Would someone read for us John chapter 20 verses 1 through 4? Okay, now in verse 1, notice it says that Mary Magdalene, she came to the tomb and saw the stone. Okay, that is from the word blepo. Okay, and it just means that you saw it. You're not saying a whole lot. There's not necessarily perception going on. There's not, she just saw it. It's a fact. Okay, now, then you see that the two disciples are coming. It's Peter and it's John, because John doesn't mention his name in his own gospel. Okay, and it says that one outran the other. So John outran Peter. We come to verse 5. Would someone volunteer to read verse 5? Okay, so John looks in. He looks in the empty tomb. And again, it says he saw the linen. Again, here we go. If you look up here, the word is blepe, so it comes from blepo. So he saw, but not a whole lot of perception going on, but he saw it. It's a fact, and he verified it. Okay, now, would someone read verse 6 for me? Okay, now this is a different Greek word. This is theoreo. Fun to say. Theoreo. Maybe I should have given you that one. Okay, this one is he gazed at it. Doesn't necessarily mean he understood anything, but he came in, he came in and he's out of breath and he's looking. He's gazing. John came in and he looked. Peter, he stopped and he's gazing. Okay? Now, the root is theoreo. Now here, yes, because it's third person singular, it's theore. Yep, theore. He saw. Okay. All right, would someone read verses 7 and 8?
And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed.
Okay. Now, this is another Greek word that means to see. And it is eidon, okay? Now, this one carries the idea of perception. And it says he believed. So the first time he went in, he looked. Jesus wasn't there because he saw the linen and he left. Peter walks in and he's out of breath and he's gazing. He's like, huh? You know, what happened? Huh? You know? Then John comes back in. It says he saw with perception. He saw the linen and he realized that Jesus was raised from the dead. That Jesus came out of his clothes and came out of the tomb and therefore was resurrected. That the stone wasn't open to let Jesus out. The stone was open to let us in to see and perceive that Jesus had been resurrected.
So there's three forms of the word
saw. At least.
In our language, one
yes.
Saw.
Yes.
But three.
At least three. Yes. And John is the only disciple that believed without seeing the resurrected Christ. But all disciples had trouble believing in the beginning. When the ladies told him that Jesus had been raised, not one of them believed immediately. It's like, what? You know, and they even thought that someone stole the body. But John was the only one that believed without seeing the resurrected Christ. And then as the others would see the resurrected Christ, then they would believe. And so just a wonderful way in which you see the detail of the Greek. But I mean, that just takes you into the narrative. You know, John, he's looking. What caused John to believe? He saw that the clothes were there, that Jesus came out of them, came out of the rock. He was resurrected. That's what he understood. He remembered what God had said. So for us as believers, we now have been able to look in the tomb ourselves and see that Christ has been resurrected, which means that the sacrifice on the cross was accepted by God. The sacrifice on the cross for our behalf was accepted. Otherwise, Christ would not have been able to have been raised from the dead. So, just a small way in which you can look at the Greek. So hopefully it's not too overwhelming. Again, we're going to take our time. We'll probably do some more pronunciation next week.
Greek is fun.
I will admit that I've done more detail so far in this introduction than any other introduction, because I think this is a sharp class. All right, let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for letting us see into your word. And yes, Lord, we have to kind of go step by step and even understand Greek and the letters and the pronunciation. But Father, there's a goal. And the goal is to be able to understand these things in detail about you, Lord, and about the word. Lord, we think it's sad that the disciples did not remember your words. We think it's sad that the disciples did not believe right away. But Lord, if we were to put ourselves in that position, Father, we probably would have done the same. In fact, we do fail many times. But Lord, we can now see because we see from the Word of God and we see in great detail. We thank you for our risen Savior. He is our hope and we're sure of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, okay, so memorize the vocabulary for this next week. That'll be your homework.